Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to Swedish Football Mafia. Episode, what's the episode?
One for one.
It's one for one and one for all.
That was like you were in, when you were in that swingers club. You're like, one for one?
Yeah, and then I got...
And they were like, no, mate, we only bring couples in here, it's swingers, mate. And you're like, no, but one. I need to be in here for one.
Yeah, it didn't work that well, did it?
What?
No, in the end, I was the one who everybody was on. What?
So you were the one for everyone.
They misunderstood my one for one.
Have you ever been involved in sordid sex clubs?
Sordid sex clubs?
No, sex clubs. Don't click that. That looks very nervous.
Well, it depends how you see it. Yeah, kind of. I've been down with, you know, but not like I go...
I've been down? Who are you, Rocky?
No, but where I lived, you know, there's this place, but they're usually for gay people.
Yeah.
But, you know, now and again...
You've just wandered
some girl
in
that you know, that you're dating or something, she's like, what's that? And you tell her, like, that sounds kind of, you know, and maybe you're drunk, and then we've gone down and look and stuff. And, you know, look, touch.
Wow.
But now the guys... Maybe sometime when I was drunk, but I don't remember that.
that was quite...
But not a normal sex club. I haven't gone down like, hello, how do I do it? Yeah, take your shirt off and here's your strap on and go on. I don't know what I need a strap on for. But I don't know what the fuck goes on in those clubs. Sorry. My home is like a sex club.
Yeah. We're in your house now.
Yeah.
And you feed pigeons out of your...
window, yeah.
Like some kind of... weird Dr. Doolittle.
I love it, mate.
Yeah, but you're a weird person. What you do is you attract more pigeons.
Yeah, like to have them there.
They're vermin.
No, they're like pigeons.
They're like rats with wings.
They're not going inside my house, are they? Just sitting outside. That's fine. I just feed them.
Sitting outside, are they?
Yeah, they're sitting.
Have you got seats for them? Have you?
Literally.
They're standing.
When I go to when I go to the kitchen, sometimes they can like understand that they start to make noise, and then they walk there because they know I'm going to feed them. So they know. And the big birds, they fly as well. Like big food, I can leave it there as well. The big fucking a goose. Just fly. A moose would be amazing. Second story, a moose flies in.
So you're saying, I mean, I know that in San Diego, they had that killer whale who was a bit dangerous. And you trained that, did you, as well? But you're saying to me now,
it's the
that
new
you walk across to your kitchen and fucking pigeons walk with you.
Yeah, it happens quite often. They know that sometimes they come here.
Do you know them by name and stuff like that?
Or? No, but I've named one Blackie.
Because you're racist?
No, he was actually being teased by the other pigeon. So what I did is every time, if there came three pigeons, in the beginning it was almost like three, four of them. They used to like live here and wait for food because I gave them like every day.
Yeah.
I buy this muesli, what do you call it?
Have they ordered this? Have they?
Don't eat it.
Do they come to the kitchen, shake
their
head?
They kind of ordered it.
When you've got Weetabix, they're like, no.
Yeah. And
they're like putting their beak to the back of the cupboard. That one, mate.
Not exactly. But one time, the three of them came.
Three of them? There's always three?
In the beginning, yeah, with three same pigeons. You can recognize all three of them. And one of the pigeons was getting picked on by one of the pigeons. And one was just left
alone.
Pecked on, yeah. So one was just left alone eating. And the other one was just constantly
Having a go. Yeah. Like you socially.
So what I did is every time it did that, I hit the window. So they all flew away and they came back 5 seconds later and it did that again. And I kept on doing that for days until it stopped. And now then they start eating. So they can learn.
Wow.
Yeah. So next thing is just make them dropping bombs. That'd be great.
Why are you not in like ISIS and stuff like that and creating like love?
Yeah, it's a secret.
No, but why are you not in there creating love and passion?
I'm creating stuff. I'm training animals for ISIS.
By giving them special muesli.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you said pigeons who gave like, you know, lettuce and shit in the Middle Ages. Why not just give them tiny
lettuce and shit?
You know, you gave them a letter or the foot.
You know, Game of Thrones and the Vikings isn't real. You know that
they
don't
used
you?
To do that in reality.
Did what?
You know
throw that? Lettuce?
No, letters. Letters.
Oh, letters. Yeah. Cool.
What the fuck? What the fuck did Game of Thrones do with letters?
No, but I thought you were talking about like the vegetable lettuce.
Yeah.
And I thought you, like, yeah, they used to give them lettuce. I was like, what?
Why is that Viking Game of Thrones, though?
Well, Game of Thrones, they feed, like, carrots to dragons and shit.
The fuck are you...
I've seen the vegan Game of Thrones.
I thought you meant because in that show, they usually have that, you know... What do you call the... Brevduva in Swedish. What do you call it in English? You know, a pigeon that gives...
Pigeon carrier, like messenger.
Yeah, messenger. Yeah. They do have that in Game of Thrones. I thought you meant that. It's like, they did that in real life. It's not fucking fantasy.
With a big lettuce on their beak.
All right. Enough about this.
Football.
Yeah.
It was quiet, and now it started to kind of really happen, isn't it? With the big money's coming
in. Yeah, the big money's really... I mean, every year you think, like, fuck, it's not going to be like this again. But this is reality now. I mean, you have teams moving players for over 100 million plus a transfer window. I mean,
95 million they're talking about with Pogba.
Yeah.
And the rumour was really hot round about the quarterfinal stage of the Euros.
Yeah.
And then it kind of softened a bit, and then it's back on now. It sounds like it's going to happen. Yeah, Woodward is in Italy.
Yeah. I mean, it's been back
and
on.
And Woodward, go to Woodward, or Woody Wad not. If Pogba wasn't Woodward, he would.
Pretty funny. Woodward was there when they... I mean, that must be one of the weirdest...
He's 23.
Yeah.
Don't you think that's kind of strange? Don't you think... Some clubs should have some kind of pride in, like, do you know what? When we looked after him, he wasn't that good, and we didn't, you know, Ferguson, we made a mistake. Now we can't buy him. Do you think they should have that rule?
Well, I mean, that rule is a bit... It's not really pragmatic, is it? The rule is... It's a pride thing. It will be like, oh, if you buy him, we're going to tell the world we made a huge mistake. But everybody knows they made a huge mistake, like a season after he left. I mean... 3 months after he left, everybody knew they made a huge mistake. He was straight into the Juventus team and was great.
He went on a free, did he?
Free.
Wow.
They released him on a free. I mean, he didn't sign a new extension because he didn't get any chances. He got like a League Cup game. It was Ferguson's fault. So, to be honest, the last 2-3 years Ferguson was at United, he was still a great manager, but his transfers dealings got worse and worse for the years that went because he left United... with not a really strong group of players. It was strong. They won the league because it was Ferguson and because the other teams had poor years. Earlier, you could always see United and see, like, if somebody comes in there, they're going to inherit a great squad. But he didn't leave them a great squad. He left them a good squad. So I think that's... But yes, a lot of players who do that. I mean, now we're talking Götze back to Dortmund.
Yeah.
Is that not really a shame for Dortmund because they'll probably buy him cheaper. They bought him cheaper than they sold him.
If you look at the stats as well, he's got quite similar stats for what he's done with Bayern and Dortmund.
Yeah, but much fewer games.
Quite similar.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, it was like 85 and 91 or something like that.
Yeah, but his performances wasn't as good as Bayern. He didn't have an influential role. He didn't really get down the first team football.
Score the winner in the World Cup. It's quite tough to kind of...
But that's... I think
it's like taking a shit on Everest, isn't it?
It's like a problem for him. He scored the winner of the World Cup. It was the highest peak of his career. Went to Bayern Munich.
Highest peak, Everest. Like it. You're always thinking. I like it.
I was thinking peak because it rhymes with beak and we're talking about pigeons.
Ah, nice. But is he... The Tottenham were in for him, weren't they?
No, I don't think so.
No.
Liverpool were in for him probably because Klopp.
Yeah.
But I don't know if that's true either. I think that's just rumours that fly around because Klopp is there and Tottenham, you know, just... I don't think they made a concrete, you know, bid for him. I think everybody kind of expected if he's going to go, he's going to go for a lot of money. And I think no other club than Dortmund would be willing to pay that because it's less of a gamble for Dortmund. He's been there before. He knows the club, the fans. So it's
how was it when he left? Because he had that thing.
It wasn't good at all.
No, because he had that photo with the shirt.
Well, not only that, he left a day before the Champions League final.
That's right, yeah. At Wembley, wasn't it?
Absolutely ridiculous. Yeah. Who does that? I mean, so ridiculous that he left before the final. And it happened to them again. So I feel sorry for them in that way. But in this case, it's fine because they're getting back cheaper. But it's kind of a pride thing for him as well. Do players want to return to their own clubs?
Well, if they feel they're going to get more of an opportunity, I think so.
I just didn't think he left in a good way. I don't think he left in a good way. I know that, for instance, with Berbatov, when he was talking about when he left United, and some Spurs fans said, we need that striker. We need that striker again. A backup kind of striker, experience, sounds good, that kind of football. But 50% of the fans was like, no fucking way we want him back because the way he left. For me personally, I'm a bit more pragmatic than that. If they don't leave like really bad, like Adebayor can never go to Arsenal after he did that at City, of course, that's too much. But if you just say like, I want to go to a big club, and you get your move, you get there, it doesn't pan off, you can come back 2 years later. I don't see a problem with that.
Yeah.
But it is a kind of, you know, fans react differently and players react differently.
I saw a story today how Puyol has done an ad in Japan, and he goes, I'm Carlos Puyol, I am Spanish. And all the Catalan guys have gone fucking nuts on him, you know.
But he plays a Spanish national team. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, but he's... Yeah.
Yeah, but they're really sensitive in Spain, in the Catalan, the Basque, Castilla. So they are sensitive, especially Catalan and Basque, of course, because they want to... A lot of people want to get off the Spanish, you know, nationality and have their own countries. But that... if he didn't play for Spain and he went up and said, I'm Spanish, now I can understand that Catalan will go, what the fuck? But the guy is a World Cup, a European Championship winner with Spain. I mean, that's ridiculous. Stupid. I'll talk about Spain, they got a new manager.
Yeah.
Lepa the guy.
He used to be a goalkeeper at Barca, manager. He got sacked for Porto. Actually, Wolves, who have just been taken over by some Chinese big takeover. 45 million, which didn't seem that much.
Yeah, that's what Hulk went for a Chinese club.
He was supposed to be rumoured to go in there, but he's decided to go to Spain instead of Wolverhampton. Big decision for everyone. Going back to Pogba, that amount of money that they're talking about, 95 million, you go into Krona, nearly, I think it's a thousand.
A billion almost, yeah.
1,000 million, yeah. Is he that worth it? Because I can understand Ronaldo, Messi, because they are game changers, man.
How about Bale then? Was he worth it?
Bale was what, 80? He was the
He was almost 100 million as well.
Yeah,
he was 100 million euros at least. So the sum that says that it's as close to 100 million pounds there as well. So Pogba will eclipse Bale with like 10 million maybe. But I'm asking, when we sold Bale, when Tottenham sold Bale, it was the same thing there. Nobody wanted him to leave because. We understood that it's Real Madrid. He's not playing Champions League. We got to let him move on. I mean,
and he had that amazing season.
Two amazing seasons in a row. He had one amazing season with Modric. Modric left, then he was a star man, totally by himself. And
I don't think I've seen. It's not too many sides that he'd grab the game by the scruff of the neck and. He was just scoring, he was creating, he was doing everything.
Yeah, he was by far our best player. Yeah. You know, it was just like, give the ball. It was one of those situations, give the ball to him.
And
we'll hope it'll solve itself.
Yeah.
Which he did a couple of games. But nobody, who's worth it? I mean...
It's a different player, though, Pogba, isn't it? Than someone like Bale, Messi or Ronaldo. Because you got the attacking... He's more, you know... I find him more of a midfielder than...
He is a more amazing.
Yeah, but then the other three, you know, he's not.
But is it fair that he's just goal scorers and game changers that
exactly. worth
a lot of money?
That's what they say about the Ballon d'Or. It should be like Ballon d'Or. Yeah. It should be.
It's a balloon.
It's a bloody Ballon d'Or. It's a balloon
with the name of the player, right? And you got hundreds of names, and then you shoot the balloon.
Open the door, and if there's a balloon out there, you've won it. you know, it's like this whole thing about they never pick defenders or goalkeepers. It's always goal scorers.
I think the Ballon d'Or is troublesome for two reasons. First of all, it's always the strikers usually. If it's not the striker, it's somebody who won the World Cup.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's also ridiculous. I don't get... I mean, if you're going to be based on that, then that the Euros have a big impact on it, then it should be Ronaldo because he won it. You know, right?
Yeah.
If you look at who was the important player for the tournament, I would have picked Pepe. Anybody else, actually. I think Pepe was the most important player for the team that won the whole tournament.
Yeah.
Without him in Portugal, I don't know if they would have won the tournament, you know. Without Ronaldo, they might have won. I mean, you never know. But yeah, I think it's unfair. Of course, midfielders can be worth as much. I mean, goalkeepers has incredible devalue value. I mean, if you look at De Gea, would you say that United are not much more dependable on De Gea than any other player in the team that they had for the past 3 years? And when we're talking Angel Di Maria, we're talking Rooney or Martial and all of them, and they all cost way more than him.
Yeah.
And when he was leaving for Real Madrid, was still less than Angel Di Maria. And you can argue he's younger than Angel Di Maria, way younger. He's got a longer career because he's a keeper. So signing him, you would have him for 15 years, or 12 or whatever, on top level for half the price.
Where
is that worth it? And game changers. The goalkeeper is definitely a game changer.
If he
has a great game, he gets 3 goals out of the way, then you need a Bale to score 3 fantastic games. He does that in a year. So, I mean, it's just... I don't see the level of... So Pogba, is he worth 100 million? I don't think so.
No.
But is he one of the best in his position? Definitely.
And he's 23.
Exactly.
That's really important.
I mean, that's the thing. If he was 28, you would say best in his position. You would say that, yeah.
It's like Hulk. How old is he? 29?
I think he's 29. He went for 46 million, more than Hull. Hulk cost more than Hull.
Wow.
Wolves, sorry.
Wolves.
Yeah, it would be much better with Hulk.
Yeah, it would have. But... Or Wolverine. Hulk is... more expensive than Wolverine.
But 46.1 million. Wow!
Don't make me angry.
Wow!
Wouldn't like me when I'm angry. Are you trying to do the Hulk impression? Or
what the fuck's going on? What is going on in China? How long time can this take for them to be one of the better? Want to be a really competitive league? If they continue this way, if the next transfer window is the same, and the next transfer window is the same. We're talking, they're spending more than Italian clubs, Spanish clubs, German clubs. I mean, how long can it take before they actually are a good...
But does that make a better league?
If they continue doing it for year after year, then sooner or later they'll affect. I mean, the players will get better. They're playing against better players.
But then they're only getting like 3 or 4 marquee players.
At the moment. But, you know...
And then if they have it for another season, maybe they'll have 6 or 7.
But I feel like, you know... It's not only there's so many. You can't have 25 marquee players, you know.
No.
You can have like 5, 6, but we're up to 20 now. I mean, big signings, expensive bigs. And some players that went to China, a lot of people don't know them that well because they played maybe in Russia, like Teixeira. He played for Russia, a great player. We haven't seen him that much in European team leagues, except for Russia, that we don't follow that much, you know. We don't watch that many games. He went to China.
Yeah.
He was linked with Liverpool and all sorts of big clubs. He went there. So we're not talking about 32-year-old marquee players that go to MLS. We're talking 25-year-old, 26-year-olds.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's gonna happen sooner or later. I think they need to change the system of how many foreigners they can get.
Yeah, of course.
Otherwise, it'll be like any other league. You have 3 great players in the team and then 12.
That's
you
what
know.
I'm saying. It's going to... Yeah. But it's...
But they're pushing a lot of money.
What would you do? You're 28, China come in for you, or you could go across the Premiership?
Well, of course, if you ask us, who's not professional football, we will always go to, you know, our clubs. I'll go to Premier League or Tottenham, of course. I'll do that.
No, go across. You're playing for Tottenham and then...
If I would do it.
Yeah.
I mean, if I already had a career until 28... Had a good, decent career. I'm not the top player of the world.
A lot of them aren't the top players, are they?
So if you take like a Nasser Chadli, I was Nasser Chadli and China came in for me, I would probably leave.
Yeah.
Maybe he's too young. Maybe some old 28-year-old guy who's a fringe player at a Premier League club.
Lee Catamol,
get the fuck out. Get the fuck. Run to China, mate. Take the first plane to
Pull
China.
Pull your shorts up and
I mean,
go
I'm
to China.
I'm telling you, fucking go.
Not you, mate. That's
I mean,
fine.
And like Joey Barton and stuff like that, they should tell their agent now when they're 31, 32, get me a fucking deal to China.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, it's 2 years more. He's not going to be a part of a big, you know, a great project.
Yeah,
you know, you're not going to be. I mean, if you're 31 years old, it depends what you see as a great project. If you want to take up your boyhood League 2 team up, and that will make you incredibly happy, fine.
Yeah.
But as we know, most football doesn't work that way. Everybody who kisses the badge, a year later they get sold for a big club and they're happily leaving. So, you know, if the money is the thing, when you get your twilight of your... And, you know, I think it would be interesting to go, like for Hulk. He already made that change when he left Porto and Russia. He already did that. He went for the money, like Witzel did. They both did it already. So why not take the next step to China, make even more money at an older age? And you're going to be a superstar there. It's a new league. It might be fun for them to, you know. And as we said before, these players are Brazilians, most of them are Latin Americans. For them, Europe is not as enticing as it is for us.
Yeah. Newcastle have gone in and they've got Hanley from Blackburn. The fans were singing last night at a friendly between Doncaster and Newcastle, Sissoko, we want you to go, right? The Newcastle fans.
Why?
I think because they think they'll just get the money. He was shit for them last season. He's very inconsistent.
That's what we said during the European Champions. We said that when we sat in the studio at that Super League, said as well, oh, he's been great. And I had to tell him, like, I don't know how much you saw of last season. He's incredibly inconsistent. And that's the biggest problem with me with Sissoko. He's not 19. I mean, he's still young, but it's a lot of money.
Because they've... it looks like Liverpool are in for...
Wijnaldum instead.
Yeah.
And they were linked with Sissoko as well.
And they got a guy from Augsburg yesterday, defender.
Yeah, Klavan. He's a 30-year-old Lithuanian international. Experienced, decent, good... He's basically a make-for-make replacement for Kulaturia. He's a five-year younger version. You know, just a young, experienced guy who's kind of comfortable with his feet. He can play the ball out, and he's also played emergency left.
And Skrtel went to Fenerbahce, and then the fucking revolution began. So,
So Liverpool probably... the revolution. Yeah, Skrtel came. But Skrtel left for
Fenerbahce.
A bomb has exploded in the airport, killing hundreds, and then a fucking coup.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you will.
Chaos.
Do you want to go to Turkey at the moment?
I don't think so at all.
And that prime minister is insane, by the way. So.
I think Turkey, there was a lot of players going and making a bit of money going there, and I think they won't be going anymore.
It's a good league as well, and all of that. I mean, I think if you're talking about you can't get a good deal in the Premier League, for instance, you're a Premier League player, and you get like France, Turkey, Portugal, Holland.
Yeah.
Then definitely Turkey is probably the best. I mean, when you're talking about level of football, fans, money, there's a lot of it there. But now, with the political...
I worry now about Champions League and stuff. I don't know if teams will want to go there.
No.
Security and stuff.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's just not a great time to go.
Talking of Champions League, Celtic, your man, Rodgers, turned it around after a...
Turned it around.
After a humiliating defeat.
Incredible defeat.
Yeah. The worst in Scottish football history, they say.
Had they played the game when we recorded the pod? No, we didn't talk about this.
Yeah, we did, because we talked about the Sky. Yeah, someone was like a dentist and stuff like that. Yeah.
All right, okay. Yeah. But did we say that in the pod?
Yeah. They lost 1-0 to Lincoln Red Ants.
Okay, I saw an interesting discussion where they had like Stevie Nicol, Xhaka, and a couple others got a question on Soccer Net. And I was wondering...
When you mention Xhaka, don't say Xhaka. Just say Xhaka, his lot.
Xhaka.
Yeah, but he's not your friend.
How do you
know? Could be Xhaka Khan.
Yeah, but that's my friend as well. So, Granit Xhaka. He's a gooner, though. But no, but that interesting question. What was the most humiliating defeat? Was it England losing to Iceland, Celtic losing to Red Imps, or Germany winning against Brazil last season? Brazil losing last season.
Yeah, good question.
And it was quite interesting. What do you say is the most? You know what? What's?
I think England losing to Iceland. Looking back now, wasn't that surprising when you think of
Okay.
You know, for, you know, I think
maybe not that's a
Celtic losing to Cyprus was a shock, but the most humiliation was definitely Brazil.
That was the biggest
7-1.
They were humiliated. Fine. Yeah. And the biggest surprise?
Well, when you look at it now, the Celtic, because of the gap between who was playing.
The problem with that game, when I was thinking, when they were all having discussion as well, what is that? The problem with that game is that they did have another leg. So, you know, they could, it wasn't as important.
And they didn't show all their character. They, you know, they showed their character when they got back.
It was a bit funny.
Imagine Rodgers' warm up talk for the second leg, though, was like, you can't fucking lose this. You really can't lose this, man.
If they would have lost it, would he get sacked?
I think he would have had to win every tournament he was in.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
From there on.
Scottish Cup in the league. Well, Scottish, they should win Cup. That anyway.
Yeah. But Rangers are up this year, so.
Yeah, that'll be interesting. See how much they can get back to the old.
Joey Barton is at Rangers as well.
Yeah, I heard that. That's a good signing.
Yeah.
Very good. So, but we talked about Wijnaldum and Poole. You had an interesting fact that Liverpool has bought since 2011.
265 million from four clubs.
Wow. Southampton. 2011. We're talking 5 years, four clubs.
Southampton, Newcastle, Villa, and Sunderland have spent.
It's baffling. It's absolutely baffling. We're talking 65 million a club. They spent 65 million per club of those four clubs for the past five seasons.
Yeah, but
we're talking 10 million a year. 50 million a year they spent. It's just.
But if you look at the signings that have worked, you know, Carroll didn't work from Newcastle.
No.
They also got Benteke. Downing. Henderson's just come right. Lambert
didn't work.
But he wasn't so much.
Klein has worked. Lallana has kind of worked.
Yeah.
But not for the money.
Yeah.
I told you, I think I said that for me, the most of these signings, Liverpool have bought players that are not star super player, because superstar players like Pogba, you have to pay over the top, right?
Yeah.
You have to pay 100 million. If you get Alexis Sanchez, he will cost you 45, 60 million, 50 million. Or Ozil. But Liverpool has spent these kind of amount of money on players that might develop to superstars, and they haven't.
Yeah.
So, but we talked about this before. I said this for 2 years, really, but I think it's just getting clearer and clearer for everybody, considering they didn't even finish in Europe, and everybody talking, they came to the final. They ended up with nothing, and they're not playing Europe. They finished seventh. I mean, way after a lot of Premier League clubs, with their outspend for sure. It's probably one of the worst transfer policy clubs in the world.
But then you've got Klopp this season. So
huge difference.
He's got his pre-season.
Huge difference. Huge.
I see
made one great signing. That was Klopp. Great signing for Liverpool. The rest of the signings has been atrocious. Embarrassing. Embarrassing. They've been embarrassing because they haven't recouped shit. I mean, if they recoup a lot of money, it's fine. But they didn't.
How much emphasis on friendlies do you
nothing
no
I used to do it, but season for season, especially when you follow your own team, you kind of, that's how you get the feel. And I feel like for seasons, we've had some great pre-seasons at Spurs, you know, really good. And then we start the league and it's shambles. I remember the best example of that was when we had Juan de Ramos. We just won the League Cup.
Yeah.
We bought a lot of players like Bentley and Giovanni Dos Santos. Modric and Berbatov were already there. And pre-season went great. And the last pre-season game, a week before the start, we're playing Roma at White Hart Lane. We thrashed them 5-0, right? We crushed the shit out of them. I mean,
Horsed them.
Embarrassing. It's embarrassing for Roma. But that was one of the first preseason games.
Yeah.
And we were like, so we thought, fuck, this is going to be great. And that was actually the first game of that Premier League campaign up in Middlesbrough, when I told you before with my sister. That was that season. And it was fucking horrible. And then we had 1 point out of 8 games.
Oh, yeah, I remember that season.
And then Redknapp came. And then we get the final League Cup. Didn't win it, but we finished like 10th or something. So that season, I really remember. We had such a great preseason. I remember my friend, he was telling me, he's like, Tottenham will fucking, they're outsiders this year, right? I was like, nah, no. Another friend said, they're fucking outsiders. And we fucking got horsed.
But their rotation policies kind of come into play now. So you've got, it seems you've got bigger squads. You know, like last night, Liverpool played Huddersfield. We fucking horsed them by losing 2-0. But, we changed our whole team, you know, second half. I think we kept the striker on. Liverpool made so many substitutions that they had to bring the reserve goalkeeper on as a centre forward. Never seen that before. And then the 90th...
What? Did they?
The third goalkeeper, yeah. Jay...
They got an injury or what?
They got an injury.
Oh, so he was the 12th substitute.
Yeah, so he was like the last... Like, they must have had three keepers...
Why the fuck do you have three keepers?
Oh, no, he had... No, Mignolet wasn't there.
All right.
So they just had two keepers, and they'd used all their substitutions. Like, Coutinho was all in tracksuit, so they couldn't put another guy back on. So he came on as a striker. They got, like, a 90th-minute penalty. Town fans and Liverpool fans were chanting, give him the penalty. But Marino took it. And scored. It would have been a bit... I think that's been a bit wanky if you do that, especially when it's only 1-0.
It is wanky. It's wanky against the opposition team as well. It's a friendly fucking try to. But you talked about.
But I think with like the preseason and stuff like that. I mean, it's very interesting now how the teams are settling. Like, I know Manchester City lost yesterday to Bayern Munich.
Yeah, but
it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. And what matters, actually, I read the report from the game and saw a few highlights from it. You know, you can even see when they finish, they shoot over and they just run casually. It just doesn't matter.
Yeah, yeah.
But the thing, what does matter is how, for the manager to see the commitment of the players. That's it. It's just internal. And, for instance, after that game, I saw the highlights, and after the game, Pep was actually... kind of praised because he was so livid on the sidelines. He was like on giving instructions, talking a lot. So they lost 1-0 but came out from, oh, that's a great preseason result.
It's
a good preseason result. It's Bayern. We didn't get 5-0 and it doesn't matter at all. You just
they're
need
in
to
for
get
the Belgium as well from Schalke. They're chasing him.
City.
Sani.
No, he's not Belgian. He's German.
Oh, is he? Yeah.
He was in the German squad. He's been chased. He's been chased for a while now. But City. He's been linked with City ever since Pep said he's leaving for City. So apparently, there's some huge
With a huge amount of money flying about. Someone like Pogba, then you look at Kante to Chelsea, 30 million. That's a fucking steal, man.
Yeah, I mean, considering that other players caught 35, 30, it's not a steal. It's not a steal. They paid up for him. 30.
He's a third of what Pogba would be. I'd have Kante any day, mate.
Yeah, of course we would have Kante every day. But it's basically one season. He's been amazing for one season. He had his breakthrough. He's young. But 30 million, that sounds like something what a good player should cost. It's just that everybody else is too fucking expensive. I mean, if you look at Kante 30 and Ibe 15, then you start to understand that, maybe it's a steal. I mean, Ibe go for £15 million, which is a good sell from Liverpool, by the way. Not only good, bad buys, but good selling. And then you see Lucas Digne from PSG, who's a full-fledged international for France, has a good career, is a decent player, goes to Barcelona for 13.8 million. Yeah. And he's probably going to go there instead of Bartra, for instance, left as well. And he left for like 14 million as well to Dortmund, I think it was. What the fuck is going on?
I think Messi pays his tax, though, for him. So that's... No, yeah, that's a crazy amount.
It's fine. Are you kidding me? Are you fucking kidding? I mean, I remember that time we got Van der Vaart 8 million for Spurs, and I remember, why the fuck is he going for 8 million and, like, fucking Downing is going for 20? What is the logic in that?
But the year is 2016. The world's in a bit of a weird place. We've got people chasing fucking Pokemon carry on. And now Sam Allardyce is going to be revealed as the England manager.
You're still shocked about that. I like it.
I just think it's... But they've tried it. They've tried Capello. They've tried Sven.
No, but they tried the wrong foreigners.
No, they've tried all the ones that have won around...
According to me, they haven't tried different styles. Okay, they kept their fucking Hoddle, McLaren, this bullshit. They tried the... I would say they've tried the English thing. It doesn't work. Hoddle was the one who went best for, but then he's an insane character, apparently. And then we had McLaren.
McKeegan.
Absolutely ridiculous McLaren. Keegan didn't work out that great. I mean, it was years ago. It's a bit different. But then if you look at Hodgson, definitely didn't work. So I would say they tried the English thing. The foreign thing, I mean, you can't just say a manager comes here, it's a foreigner. You have to see what kind of manager. For me, they've had similar managers. They've had McLaren, Hodgson. Yes men for the FA. They'll be like having Southgate going on. It'll be another Southgate. Yeah. They'll be just as it is. So that is this manager. And Sven-Göran Eriksson was like them, but Swedish.
Same
kind of manager. Football, similar footballing attitude, similar media way, similar talk with the players. They're very similar kind of, you know, they're old and not that extravagant.
Yeah.
And then they thought we've got to take a completely different way of manager. But did they take a completely different way of manager? They took Capello, who's also another sturdy. I would say they need to get like you said, Slaven Bilic or a Guardiola, that kind of manager. I mean, I'm not saying that experience, that, you know, famous, but that kind of footballing manager. That's what they need. They need a footballing manager. And if they're going to keep on doing this, stick with an Englishman and, you know, rough and tough, then Allardyce is great. If this is what they want,
I think if you're thinking if you only go in English,
and there's no other choice.
Yeah,
there is no other. What's the choice if you're going English?
Yeah,
even if you went British, you would at least have like a Rodgers or Moyes in that contention, at least something. But you're going English, and the other person who was interviewed was Steve Bruce, and the third one was talking was Glenn Hoddle. He hasn't managed for fucking 15 years.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's weird. If they decide for this, then they go Allardyce. They haven't really changed anything. But I still think
you
Allardyce...
You don't think so?
What have they changed?
Allardyce and Hodgson? You don't think they've...
No, I don't think it's that big. I think they're different managers, and I like Allardyce much more
as
a person, and even tactically I like him much more. But they're similar kind of way. They play kind of direct. They play kind of, you know, sturdy, a little counter-attacking.
See, I think Hodgson...
If you look at Hodgson's full...
Tried not to play direct.
But
was tactically found out.
That's the thing. When he came with this squad, everybody was talking about, you know, we've got to play the same English. It doesn't work. You have to give him one credit, Hodgson, right? He did try to change and come up with a new style of play that England was used to. But it went horribly wrong.
Had no plan B either. He was so stuck in his ways.
We said this before the championship. Before the championship, this is what we're saying. I had a fucking Rooney rant, right? And I don't know if that came so perfectly well, how good that fucking rant was when you think about it. It's ridiculous. I had that rant because it was stupid. It's absolutely stupid. It's like saying, well, Gary Cahill is in the English national squad. He's pretty good in the head, right? Let's make him a fucking target man up front. I mean, what the fuck is going on?
But
he's an absolute idiot. Allardyce won't do that. He won't do that. He won't...
They won't get relegated.
No.
No, but it's very interesting what they say, like, what's the difference then between England and Wales and Northern Ireland? And I read quite a good article about how Wales, when Toshack took over, he wasn't tactically, you know, this flamboyant, not at all. You know, there's the whole thing about him and Robbie Savage, he didn't have a mobile phone. You know, that thing. Yeah. But he got all the ages. They started from young, and they all played the same system. So they knew tactically exactly what they had to do. That guy, Chris Gunter, who's like 25, 26, he's got 73 caps for Wales.
He was at Spurs.
Yeah. But he's got fucking, you know, he's so experienced now, and he knows, when he goes on the pitch, he knows exactly what to do.
But you know,
and I wonder, I mean, Coleman has done nothing up until Wales.
Oh, he was in something like that. So it's just that.
Yeah, and he got Fulham, he did well with Fulham.
He did well.
But he didn't, you know, he wasn't a world beater.
No, but I think there's a difference there as well. These teams doesn't have any pressure on them to succeed, right? So they have the time to do this. They have the time. I think when Mark Hughes was manager for Wales, I think since then especially, they really had a similar idea from how to play. But they've changed tactically difference. Even when he was there, Gary Speed was there, I know they played a 3-5-2 a couple of times with Gareth Bale as a wing-back. I saw a game, I don't know what country I was. I was in some other country and I saw Wales play and Bale was playing wing-back back then when he was at Spurs. So they have changed a little bit. It's not exactly the same system. But I think for them, it's just they've built a national continuity that people will find a fight for the country and really want to do it, like Portugal had. It's really important at international level, and maybe that's why they succeed. I don't know that it's because they play the same way. I mean, Spain has done that, but it's not only in the Spain national team. A lot of players who get picked for Spanish national team come from club that plays that way, like Barcelona, a bit like Real Madrid.
But do you think Allardyce will go in and not play these big time Charlies? You know, these kind of. Do you think?
What big time Charlies does England have? No.
Wilshire.
Oh, he won't play Wilshire. If he was injured the whole season, 35 minutes, he wouldn't do a Rod Hodgson.
Yeah.
He would definitely not take him in.
Yeah.
I think he's...
Do you think he'd play Rooney where he played him?
Wow. I'm hoping for England that he will come in and be a bit different.
I am, yeah.
Because this is the case.
I like him as well. Like,
yeah, like I love that.
Media-wise.
I love him.
There's that thing when Mourinho had a go at him.
I love him.
And he was like, I don't give a fuck what he thinks.
Brilliant. I love him. He's great. I really like the character. I think,
but he still also thinks he should be manager of Real Madrid.
Well, that's
he's got a massive ego.
Well, I think you have to have a massive ego if you're going to be either top footballer or top manager. The thing about everybody picking a Ronaldo, how do you think they get that well, that good? How do you think they get that good?
By being assistant manager of Sanchez.
That's a good one. I just think that they have it in their head that I don't want to be the best player. I am the best player. I just need to realise that.
Allardyce is quite ahead of everybody with nutrition, training, kind of different kind of regimes, like health, fitness. You know, he's not in the dark ages. And I feel he's sort of lost a bit of the long ball thing. Newcastle fans hate him. You know?
Well, yeah, I think Newcastle fans hate him for you know, weird reasons. I don't think it was... The failure at Newcastle, can you really just put that down to Allardyce? I mean, he did have a great, great fucking new owner there who changed him straight away after. I mean, I just don't think that that's a capital failure on his record completely. Every other club he's been at, he's done a good job. But he's good at not getting relegated and getting medium team getting better. His best stint was, of course, in Bolton, where he got a fucking nonsense team to be European regulars. I mean, almost.
Yeah.
I think that's his biggest achievement. And I think he did good at West Ham. But then when you see Slaven Bilic the next season, you're wondering, did he really do that well, or did he just put the foundation for Bilic to keep on?
And also, they played a bit long ball when he, you know.
There's no doubt about that. He plays direct, right? Yeah. There's no going around. He doesn't play short triangle football. That's ridiculous. And I don't think he will.
And also, I think Hodgson's England got confused about what they were doing anyway.
Oh, completely.
Yeah.
Of course, they play the qualifying game with a Hodgson who plays like Hodgson. Then they go to the European Championship and he changes everything.
Yeah.
He changes every position for every player, out of position, formation,
they get a
style
result.
Of play.
They get a result and he makes six changes.
Oh, he's an idiot. Yeah. I mean, Italy didn't even make that many changes when they were done. I mean, that tells you something, right?
I think he'll be good in tournament football as well. And I think
Allardyce.
Yeah.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah, we'll see. I mean, it's really it's a fun choice. You can say that. Maybe it's not as exciting as like Pep would come or something like that. Yeah. It's a fun choice. It's much more fun than Hodgson. Hodgson was never fun. It was nothing fun with Hodgson. Not his style of play, not his media way, not his talking to the media. He's a boring fuck. He doesn't say bad things. So as a club manager, you'd probably be happy with him, you know, being defensive all the time. But as, you know, neutral watching the game, he's sitting there having this. I mean, you literally fall asleep during his interviews. He's absolutely boring as fuck, Hodgson. Yeah, and you can't,
sorry, mate.
And you can't believe that he's been to like 15 countries and coached when you see his football. What the fuck?
Yeah, I think
he hasn't learned shit.
Yeah, it's interesting. He's been at, he was at Inter, he was at Switzerland,
and he's been to Malmö, he's been to Barcelona. Yeah. I mean, he's been to a host of clubs, but that system of play used to work back then. And I don't know how it is. It'll be fun to see. It'll be really fun to see, but I'm not that sure. Talking about transfers earlier, Umtiti was done for Barcelona. Yeah. He was debated before the European Cup, but now it was done now.
Yeah.
So they're strengthening defence with both Digne and Umtiti.
I think we mentioned in Titi last time. I did a joke about Titi.
Yeah, maybe. All right. Yeah, we talked about he's linked, but he's definitely done. Otherwise, I think that's most of it. Norrköping lost to Rosenborg.
A 5-4 in aggregate. Yeah. But they were 2-0 down and they got back to 3-2.
Yeah. So good result on the night. But for Swedish football,
I think one more goal would have been an away goal, would have got there. But
yeah, but unfortunately, that's not happened. They didn't do imps. Well, Celtic went through with a 3-0. And then in Allsvenskan, well, Norrköping had a 3-3 draw before this game. Quite funny, in Allsvenskan on
Sunday, wasn't it?
Yeah, on Sunday, with four games, all four drew. One, Elfsborg IFK 1-1, AIK Malmö, which is the top game, 1-1. Yeah. Hammarby Falkenberg 3-3, Örebro Häcken.
Falkenberg were 3-0 up as well.
Yeah, great result. For
Gefle winning again at Kalmar, at home to Kalmar, so they're picking up.
Yeah, but they're still 5 points away from the from playoff place, so they're quite down with Falkenberg as well. But as we look at the top of the table, half the season is all is one game away from half the season. Malmö is leading with 3 points over Norrköping. And then it's pretty tight with IFK, Örebro and AIK. So maybe Malmö's back on form again. I think it's important for Swedish football to have a team that can qualify in Europe. Norrköping was great. They won.
Yeah.
Fell on first hurdle now. So, you know, it's kind of...
Örebro having a good season. Up in fourth place.
Yeah, we'll see how long that lasts. It's Allsvenskan. It's going to be summer now. Yeah. So half the players are going to leave, probably to club, which is really annoying for the transfer windows for the clubs, I think. I mean, and
it's been a weird season as well because they've had to break up for the Euros,
and then the transfer is going to come now. And of course, a lot of players are going to leave. And I just find it really weird that the season starts when the transfer window is open. I don't like that at all. I think it's absolutely stupid. I think what they should have, the transfer window should be closed at, 10th of August. Not 1st of September, or maybe 1st of August.
Yeah.
Close it 1st of August. Yeah, actually, close it. You need to have 2 weeks before the league starts. Close it 1st of August, at least for England. Maybe 7th of August in Spain, because it's not a week later. And then in the winter transfer, the January transfer window, should be a fucking December transfer window. 15th of December to 15th of January, when all the European clubs has a fucking vacation with the players,
apart from the English teams.
Yeah, but they need to start doing that as well. Yeah. England need to have a vacation as well, and that's where the transfer window should be. I think it's absolutely
change the game. Adil Blatter.
I mean, it's fucking stupid. I mean, who doesn't think this? If you're gonna have transfer windows, what manager would not want this the way to be? Every manager's complaining. Every small, if you're not Barcelona, Real Madrid, or stuff like that, every manager would go like, you know what? It's terrible. You start your season, and then all of a sudden, like, United realizes, oh, we got an injury in our striker. Oh, we should have got another one. We're not going to promote a youngster. We'll just buy one from Hull or something. And then they're without a striker on transfer deadline. It's not fair. It's not nice. And it does not promote youth players to be playing. And it does not promote the national team at all. Like in England, for instance, if the transfer window was shut the 1st of August, you stop playing the league. 20th August, you get a long-term injury on a defender, right?
Yeah.
In normal cases, that's what happened in the season. You have to promote somebody else for a backup. Now they can go and buy somebody, which they usually do. Yeah. They usually do. They buy like a 30-year-old or something who'd cover up the hole. And then we were back in. That place could have been an 18, 19-year-old product from the old youth squad. And maybe that'll help his career. But so the transfer window is stupid. It's just fucking stupid. It should be closed in 2 weeks. But it's not.
And England should have a winter break.
Oh, yeah, most definitely.
Yeah,
most definitely. I mean, I don't think you can argue with this anymore. I think it's been for years now when it's getting grueler and grueler all the seasons. The teams are getting more fit. They're getting more training as well because, you know, it's really rough now to start with anyways. And when everybody else has a break and you don't have it, I mean, it's going to affect you. I mean, you see the Euros, so you see the Champions League, Europa League, even the Spain is completely dominant. England should have teams far ahead in the tournament because they're losing against teams where they buy their best players from.
So
it's stupid. You know.
James wasn't here.
No, yeah, he was. He just hadn't said anything. James, you say anything? See ya. All right. Okay.
That's episode 141. We were back next week. Hopefully Allardyce will be in the role.
Yeah.
We're kind of saying it before it's been announced, but we do believe it's going to happen. We have the scoop.
It's a pretty long fucking episode. That's what she said.
It's been a pleasure. Enjoy your pigeons. Keep feeding them. And make sure you feed them the right muesli.
And
episode 140.
All of you to feel to give food to the pigeons. It's really important.
I've got gigs next week, but I'll mention them next week. Okay. Tak to mycket.
Thank you.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.